Luis Suarez is one of the greatest strikers in the world in recent years. He used to play for Barcelona and was lucky enough to be teammates with giants like Messi and Neymar. In the season 2015-2016, Suarez became La Liga's top scorer. Imagine playing in a league with stars like Ronaldo, Gareth Bale, Benzema, Messi, and Neymar, yet scoring the most goals in season. How is that even possible? Do you think it's because Suarez was incredibly talented, had great teammates, or maybe some factors we can't even imagine? And this is Nima Parsa, and welcome to Nipa Podcast. This is the second episode, Being a Team Player. Go! Now, I brought up Suarez to get to this point. What do you think? Is it better to work alone or as a part of a team? Think about it carefully and give me an answer. If you believe that teamwork brings more success, then we are on the same page. But if you think working alone is better, I have a few questions for you. Do you think you're better than others in every respect? Imagine you're the manager of a company. Okay, that's cool. Maybe you know accounting and management, but can you be a great HR manager? Can you be a great office cleaner? Can you handle every single task in the company alone? Probably not. Let's leave that aside and return to our topic, teamwork. Nassim Nicholas Taleb, in his book Antifragile, introduces an interesting concept. The word fragile means breakable. Obviously, Taleb creates the word antifragile, which has no prior equivalent in English. It practically describes something that gets stronger when faced with stress and challenges. Imagine three types of cups. A glass cup. If you drop it, it shatters. That's fragility. The second glass would be a wooden or plastic one. If you drop it, nothing happens. That's resilience, but it is not the opposite of fragility. Now, imagine a cup that doesn't exist in the reality, as a matter of fact. One that, when dropped, doesn't just stay intact, but becomes stronger. This concept is what Taleb calls anti-fragility. Taleb applies this concept to teamwork and social structures, arguing that they can become stronger after setbacks. As an individual, we're fragile. One day, inevitably, we'll pass away. But a team doesn't die. It might lose a member, but it continues and even grows stronger. Now, I hope this helps you think about why teamwork might be better than working alone. Let's talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. He is the most famous footballer in history. Everyone knows him, and we all know that he's incredibly hardworking, skilled, and he embodies all the traits of a great player. If you have accepted the idea of working as part of a team, then here's my question. What makes an ideal teammate? Think of three qualities that a great teammate should have. Write them down if you can. If not, just keep them in mind. Now that you have thought about those qualities, let me refer you to the book, The Ideal Team Player, written by Patrick Lencioni. He suggests that an ideal team player possesses three qualities simultaneously. The first is hunger, wanting to achieve more and go higher. The second is humility. At first, I found it a little bit strange. How can you be hungry and humble at the same time? Humility means listening to those who are stronger or more knowledgeable than you. And last but not least, the third quality is smartness. But Lencioni's definition of smartness is different. It's about doing hard and complex tasks in a short period of time. Now, think about these three qualities and compare them to the ones you came up with. How similar or different are they? Do you think these three qualities really make someone an ideal team player? In the next part, we'll discuss how to bring exceptional individuals into your team once you have identified them. If you have found such a person, I mean the ideal player, what would be your strategy to recruit them? Answer this in three sentences, if you can. Speaking of strategies, let's look at the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It offers practical scenarios for building connection and attracting people. First, a smile. You won't believe how effective it is. Try it. Second, call people by their names. I wish I knew the names of everyone listening to this episode so I could call each of you by name. As a teacher, I've seen how happy my students get when I address them by their names. It creates a warm connection. Third, be a good listener. Fourth, talk about their interests. Alan Dobutton once said in a video that people always love talking about one topic, themselves. Last but not least, care about people. It's simple but challenging. Can you truly love people? Think about it. If your answer is yes, you're truly lucky. Thank you for listening. I want to give a big shout out to the NIPA team for all their hard work, from writing the podcast script to editing and brainstorming topics and everything, literally. I contributed some ideas from things I'd heard before too. Anyways, you can find us on our website, nipa.academy, NIPA.academy. Follow us on social platforms like Instagram, YouTube, and Telegram. And take care of yourselves and stay safe in these strange times. Cheers. Go.